Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Summertime and the living is easy. Oh, can you feel it? Can you smell it? Can you breathe it? Is it in your blood yet? Bonnaroo's lineup is out. It is the glory. It's the most glorious day of the year. It is the most amazing feeling in the world to look at it on your computer screen, to hold it in your hand, to see it on your phone, and then be able to talk about it with your best friends and lose your mind on Twitter about it, which is what I'm doing right now.
You said earlier it's the first time that we've done this, that we all kind of...
In the last like 4 years, I think we've done this together, and
at least
one of us thought, I'm not.
Yeah,
not
that
sure.
Was okay. That was okay.
Immediately, it was, yeah. OMG, bro!
Right?
Are you kidding me?
There is not a second line of this lineup that is not as good as any first line of any other lineup. That's how strong. Like where we lose our minds is you look at the Reddits and you see time after time after time. Everybody gets the headliners. We get the headliners.
Yep.
But then we never know what's happening on the second line, and we always take that second line. And we're like, you know what? I don't know if this is for me.
Yeah.
I just don't.
It's
think
okay.
That this is okay.
There's
this
one
is,
or two oh, in there.
You know, I'll go. But I just don't know this year. This is just, I don't know how you look at these second lines. If you take out the first line of every day and just do second lines, you have got a festival that is as good as any in the country.
Well, we've been sitting here waiting on it for several hours. Thank you to the guys at AC and Big Hassle for getting it to us early, as they always do. But we've been waiting, you know, and then when we got it, we've had it, what, 20, 25 minutes?
Barely, yeah.
And we had to take a break. Had to kind of gather our senses.
I had to gather myself.
So I'm still trying to digest it as we speak. And it's deep. It hits on so many different genre levels, so many different age demographics. This is really gold.
Can you tell that we are excited? I'm Brad Steiner. That's Barry Corder. And we're joined by Camp Nut Butter regular Brian Stone, host of the least listened to podcast in the history of podcasting.
Well, I don't really podcast, do it anymore, actually. So.
A podcast not about Bonnaroo, not for Bonnaroovians. That is us, the podcast for Bonnaroovians, by Bonnaroovians, Barry Corder and Brad Steiner. Now, welcome to lineup day, by the way. Welcome
and
to lineup
very
day.
Very excited and happy to be here. This is fun. This is big
thanks for joining us.
Like I
said, we've done this, the three of us, 4 years, maybe even five. Taco's helping.
And
we're videoing now.
It's great. And the best part is Brian dressed up.
You're wearing a hoodie.
You're wearing a hat outdoors. You're not.
Nobody 12. Cares. Nobody cares.
You are
this is what they care about.
A grown man wearing a hat.
Nobody
a
cares.
Grown ass man.
I've had to listen to this all night.
It's been a lot.
It's been a lot. June 11th through 14th at his campsite.
All right. So I don't even know where to start. I'm going to start at the, to me, the thing that cuts through the noise. And I don't care how much you want to argue with me about Lizzo. I've had this argument how many times on the show.
I don't understand it exactly.
I'll deal with you later.
You will. Fine. You will understand.
I'll deal with the Lizzo stuff later. We've all had the argument. If you've been following any of this, we'll talk about the Lizzo thing here in a second. Tame Impala, Tool, Lizzo, the rumored headliners, all true.
Worst kept secret all year.
The thing that cuts through the noise for me, Miley Cyrus...
Wow.
At Bonnaroo is the most stroke of Coachella that I have ever seen Bonnaroo make.
That's terrific. Yep.
And I'm not a fan. I said this in our live Instagram video. I'm
our
not
pre-show
a fan
meeting.
Of Miley Cyrus. Here's what I love about her. I love the fact that she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
I love that she doesn't care, and I love that she's always willing to do something that challenges you. I understand that it's very uncomfortable that we have seen her naked as many times as we have seen her, but that is as big of a risk as Bonnaroo has ever put as the... You do the lineup, right? You go Tool, Tame Impala, Lizzo. I don't know what's for. It might be Flume, and it might be Lana Del Rey. But if it's Miley Cyrus, that is as big of a risk as Bonnaroo has ever taken.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see the show. I'm like you. I like her. I respect her. It's not somebody I listen to a lot of the music, but she's done it her way, and good for her.
What do you think about on that Friday night on stage-wise? Do you see her being the headliner on The Witch, like around maybe 10 or something like that, with Tool being the late night, I mean, later good, night, midnight, or 11 o'clock on the what?
It's a good question.
Or do you
question.
See Miley before Tool on the... I don't see that crossover being there.
It's a good question. Well, let's get to, let's get to scheduling.
To think about
I'll get to scheduling here in a little bit. But I find... I just want to hammer home the idea that I have a feeling this is going to get a lot of blowback, right? I think people are going to look at... Especially the Bonnaroo... Really? The Bonnaroo... Like, the hardcore Bonnaroo fan is going to look at Miley Cyrus and say, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? This has turned into a pop. This has turned into a pop festival. Live Nation's killed it. Why are they doing this? What a sellout!"
That sounds like me 10 years ago. I don't know if you're going to get that now as much, doesn't it?
I mean, I understand.
I disagree. I'm with Brian. I think you're going to look at it and you're like, "Man, that's just one more great thing in the basket." I tell you, the one that's blowing me, and it's way down. We talked about it earlier. Turquoise with Jerry Harrison and Adrian Belew.
Oh God, here goes Brad being himself.
Whatever.
Whatever. Me and Taco and Barry were talking about this thing.
Whatever.
I love this. I love this so much. I love the fact that Barry Corder is sitting in front of the Bonnaroo line and was like, "You know, I'm looking at Miley Cyrus, Flume, Oysterhead, Lana Del Rey. You know what really surprises me? 12 lines down at Alton Gun.
Adrian, all right, Brad, come
it's
on now.
King Crimson and Talking Heads.
I get youngin. It. I understand. I just
and Turquoise.
You are
terrific.
The youngest person here.
I
by
find
the
that
way.
To be just so hysterical.
That's
all
just
right.
One. That's just one. Oysterhead, Jason Isbell.
I think it's
Tenacious
a testament
D,
to how deep and how great this lineup.
Leon Bridges,
looks.
Who I love.
Get
there
back
before.
With me in a week, and I'll have a little bit more of a.
Yeah,
an
we
opinion.
Just got.
I
this,
understand.
So
I understand. So when I look at the thing that cuts through the entire conversation that will be on Consequence of Sound on Stereo Gum the minute you open your computer today, it is going to say Tool, Lizzo, Tame Impala, Miley Cyrus. Headline Bonnaroo 2020. I just don't recall the time where something like Miley Cyrus has been in that conversation. I don't remember. Now, this is to me, and I said this to a friend of mine a second ago as they walked by. It feels to me like Cardi B last year, but with so much more weight. Miley Cyrus is not going to screw around. Miley Cyrus is going to bring a show. And no matter what I like about it or think about it, it is going to be phenomenal and enormous amount of fun.
Pardon my ignorance, but I would put Miley Cyrus at a much higher overall international superstardom than Cardi B, right? I mean, whether you like her or hate
that's
her.
True. I mean, I'm not going to rank them, but
I don't mean
that's
that you are,
like,
but that's still what it's one of those love or hate.
I agree.
Can you believe this is? I didn't believe Cardi B was like, what the hell is this?
I'm just
fine, whatever.
I agree.
I'm just trying to identify the conversation.
I got you.
And I really think that the conversation is going to be Miley Cyrus is playing Bonnaroo.
And it didn't, one sniff, not one little tiny leak, not one little rumor.
Not once.
I ever saw Miley on it. I know you guys, and especially everybody out there listening to your show, follow this religiously. Yep. I never saw Miley, not even like, "Hey, what do y'all think about this crazy idea?"
Right.
That's amazing they were to keep that secret. That's just impressive all the way around in
right.
itself.
I'm trying to think of the other like Nashville people that could have filled that slot that would have been as surprising.
Well, that's where I was going to go with it. I wonder how much of it is the fact that they haven't had a female headliner before. I wonder how much that conversation played into the
and maybe
we'll
try to double down and have a couple.
And the Nashville thing. Yeah. You know, everybody wanted Dolly. So I have to think in their head, the guys who booked this, Nashville and female. And so Miley would come up and they went and got her, and good for that. I think the conversation too is going to be just what we've been doing for the last 20 minutes is how strong the whole thing is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to the weight of the entire festival. Okay. Now I understand that this is not a show that is built for the EDM crowd. We are not EDM people, although
that's a
Barry.
Good point. I didn't even think about that.
Although Barry loves EDM.
Bass Nectar
is the king of them all.
You might as well call him Barry Nectar because he is the biggest Bass Nectar fan you've ever seen in your life. All right,
I just want to
if we were to create the poster, somebody on Infaru or Reddit is going to create the poster, right? And it's going to put it in traditional Bonnaroo style. It's not going to be like it is. By the way, 2 years in a row, they built it by day.
And how great is that to have more talking points, too, though? That's fun to be able to look at each individual
day. Well, last year we said they built it by day because we felt it was so weak. Boy, oh boy, if you put this on a post.
You said that.
Well, I was just trying to create an argument. I'm creating content. I know you were. Mary, we got a lot of shows to fill.
Radio guy.
So if you were to put this on an actual poster, I mean, the first four lines are unbelievable. I mean, there are going to be times where you read this lineup and you're going to pass Run the Jewels maybe five times.
And not even
Run the
it.
Jewels is going to be as fun of a show on the Witch stage as you are going to find at Bonnaroo. But you're going to pass that how many times? 1975 has a massive, massive audience. Glass Animals is what everybody wanted. Everybody
did want Glass
Animals. Megan Thee Stallion could not be a big. You talk about these lanes. We have talked about lanes so many times on this show. Megan Thee Stallion, DaBaby, Lizzo, you can see it all feeding. You can find.
We haven't left Friday.
I know.
Left Friday.
I know. So then you go to Saturday. Lizzo, Flume, Oysterhead, Tenacious D, Jason Isbell, King Gizzard, DaBaby, Seven Lions. I'm just on the first two lines. Tame Impala on Sunday, Lana Del Rey, Vampire Weekend, Leon Bridges, Young Thug, Grace Potter, Flogging Molly, Rez. I'm only on the first two lines. This is as.
Yeah,
I don't remember a lineup where I felt like the weight was all in the first part of the conversation. I look back on the Bruce Springsteen year, the Snoop Dogg
year,
and I say, man, look at all that. The artists that were there and we didn't even talk about it, this is all up front, ready for us to look at. This is.
It's flip-flop from last year. Remember last year we were like the top was, it was down in the middle, and then the surprises in the lower. Now it's just like you're saying. It's, oh my God.
If you are somebody that is calling or complaining about Lizzo, I don't know what you're going to worry about.
Yeah, go see it.
There's nothing worried to
talk about it.
All right, so
Marcus King, I just saw that.
I know. Durka event. Marcus King is great. Stop it, Brad.
Gotcha. I don't have any problem with it. All right, so
apparently he does.
A couple things. So I wanna reset because there's so much to get to. There's so much to dig into in this lineup. It's like my eyes can't peel off of it. I just want to keep looking at it because I keep finding things that I never expected to see.
Isn't that one of yours? The Struts.
The Struts.
Isn't that somebody you turned me on to at one point?
Brian, you know, I would try to introduce you to Oxygen if I felt like it would help your life, but you don't care about anything that I
bite
say.
Bite you on it. I don't need it.
I don't need Oxygen.
So let's go through some of the things that we actually knew were going to happen, and it turned out all of it to be true. Now, I want to go through some of the things that we said, and then we'll go through some of the things that Infaru said and the blogs and the website said. When I said that there was going to be somebody that I absolutely knew was going to be there, and it was Brittany Howard. Brittany Howard is my favorite artist on the planet. It makes all the sense in the world that she's going to be on Friday night. I want to make this clear. It is stunning to me that Brittany Howard is the front woman. She's been on SNL. She's the front woman of one of the biggest bands on the planet, and she is on the third.
Yeah, she's way down there.
Line on a Friday.
So
that is
gonna be a tent
stunning
show.
To me. I don't think it's gonna be a tent show. I would imagine that'd be a Witch stage sometime around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
That'd
be a good spot. So that was that. We also knew that there was no chance in the world that the Black Keys were playing. We got that information early. And yes. we were pretty privy to the Lizzo information. You know. It's my
well,
girl.
You made her.
It's my girl.
You made
I,
her.
I didn't
you made
make
her
anybody.
Career.
No, I did not make anyone. No one
made
anybody.
First one ever to play her, he made her.
That is true, but the other part is not. I made nobody. I was the first one to play her. That makes any... It doesn't matter.
I'm trying to help you.
And then, but the rest of it really sort of falls into what we already knew. And something hit me when I opened this up and I looked at it for the first time, when we both saw Tool, Lizzo, and Tame Impala, and I went right by it. Right?
Yeah.
I just sort of knew it.
Just keep moving along.
It's crazy that I am spending every waking second that I have right now on everybody but Tool, Lizzo, and Tame Impala.
No, I'm doing the exact same thing.
And it's because I think it doesn't, I don't think it matters. And it's part of the argument that we've been making forever. Headliners, not really necessarily what we need to worry about. And I think that Bonnaroo doesn't have a problem with the headliners leaking, which is why sort of Coachella did this a few weeks ago. Coachella lets their headliners out. What do they care? The headliners are not going to be the ones that sell
doesn't
the tickets.
It doesn't change anything.
They're not going to sell the tickets. They're not going to change the conversation. Right. They're not going to drive the narrative. What's going to drive the narrative starting right now at 9:15 in the morning, if you're listening to this right now, is Miley Cyrus, Bass Nectar, Run the Jewels, Glass Animals, Flume, Oysterhead, Tenacious D, Lana Del Rey, Vampire Weekend, Leon Bridges, Grace Potter, on and on and on.
Yep.
I think Lana Del Rey is, I mean, it's almost got a kind of a big female presence on the top on each night. Miley and Lizzo, of course, obviously on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Lana Del Rey, Grace Potter. I mean, it's just diverse. It's so diverse and
by
so
the
solid.
Way, it just hit me. Somebody with more information than I. When's the last time Grace Potter was there? Grace Potter puts together great set after great set when she's at Bonnaroo. It's always during the day, and it's always
she's a perfect
really,
which stage or early what stage.
And it's always so hot, and you just like struggle to get there. But boy, that Grace Potter set is so much fun when you're actually
You question whether you should go because you're tired, you got something else to do,
and you're always going because a girl wants you to go.
That's true. And then when you get there, you're happy that you got
you're
there.
Having a blast because she's amazing. Okay, I want to go back to Friday because
it's stacked.
The first two lines. So what we have talked about before in festival lineup world is that Fridays and Sundays are usually the days that they stack the most, right? And they let Saturdays sort of be a little lighter, for lack of a better term.
They know you're already there on a Saturday, right?
Yeah, because you're going to be there. Right. If they can get you on a Friday and a Sunday or even a Thursday, they know they've got an extra probably $1,000 a ticket on a Saturday because you're going to be there anyway. It doesn't really matter. They can push all of their things on a Friday and Sunday and make the crowd go where they really want to, where they need them keep to go them. To keep everything sort of in order, right?
Right.
With that being said, I am stunned as to how light Thursday is.
Yeah, I had said before we started taping that I know one act.
Well, Lock and Poe.
Which, as we've said many, many times, I'm fine with that because Thursday is Discovery Day.
Well, yeah, I don't think that matters. I don't think whether you know anything on Thursday matters all that much, but I actually do know a couple names.
By light, do you mean you don't know them or you think it's just a light lineup or both?
It's okay to admit you don't know something, Brian.
Okay.
Good catch.
Damn it, Brian. You're not supposed to be here today.
You see how he hesitated. Because I'll admit straight up, I don't know any of them. It could be a great lineup.
I'm excited about learning what Thursday holds. I love the regrets. The regrets have been really good to us as a radio station, as a radio group. I like the regrets a lot. Larkin Poe has been really good to the city of Chattanooga. They've been here a couple of times. I guess that I'm just big something. By the way, he's really good.
Devin Gafilian's a Nashville.
Devin Gafilian's been amazing singer songwriter. You're gonna like him a lot because the voice is terrific. But I don't know, man. I think
there's not that one big name you think might be that big third.
Well,
Courtney Barnett 5-6 years ago. Courtney Barnett was 3 or 4 years ago.
Maybe. I think that I'm more a little bit sort of over the Grand Ole Opry.
No, I'm totally over the Grand Ole Opry.
I want to see what comes back. Yeah, you said it.
Well, but I also
said it many times.
I also think the Preservation Hall brass band or the New Orleans band. I think that had run its course too. So I like the idea of continuing with this. Maybe, I don't know if we call it new tradition, but at least new annual thing.
I hope it doesn't do a lot for me either. It needs some tweaking.
So as somebody, this is what's ironic and uncomfortable, as two people that are doing a radio show in front of you right now, I really hate the idea of going to the Wit stage and watching a radio show. I think that's very uncomfortable. Going to that tent and watching what happened last year, it's just, it didn't work. It did not work.
No,
and
that's
hope to God,
I
and
I
love, we love, how much do we love Catch? But it just didn't work. I hope
you're
to
not
God.
Sure we love Catch. Or
no,
we
have,
do. Yeah,
no,
yeah, okay.
You know we love the Catch, but
yeah,
the catch
is the Catch.
We love the Catch.
Catch, Secor, he's great.
But featuring special guests. Oh my God, I hope those special
guests. It wasn't
guests
that so much. It was just. It was like the commercial breaks. There was just too much time in between. It just was slow. It was slow moving. I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed seeing those guys. I get your point though. It was slow, and you could see people leaving, and that's what I mean. I hope they tweak it. I think the idea, you know, we pumped it up beforehand. It's a great idea.
Oh, man, we were so excited.
Yeah, we were excited.
We were so excited.
We'll see where it goes.
All right, so here's the other thing that I was thinking about. As we were watching the tweets come in and the Reddits come in, as you get excited for lineup day, boy, that was a governor's ball. What lineup dropped as we were sitting here?
Let it go. You're going to pick on me,
aren't
you?
No, I'm not going to pick up on you. I swear to God, I'm not going to pick on you.
It was governor's ball. It was three. Right. Yeah, three.
I say, you got to pick on somebody other than me there, Barry.
Wait a second. Governor's ball booked Stevie Nicks? That makes no sense for what the governor's ball is doing. They're a top 40 sort of like, crossover alternative pop festival. That doesn't make any sense if Stevie Nicks was there. By the way, Stevie Nicks, not going to be a Bonnaroo, but what I don't see on here is the Legacy Act.
Well, it seems like the Legacy Act has been less and less over the years.
Except Darren
Harrison and Adrian
Ballou.
Oh no, I know, but I was going to say Primus.
Primus, yeah.
But I don't see a Kenny Rogers. I don't see a
the turquoise. They're going to be doing the Remaining Light. It's 40 years old. The
Barry
Heads thing.
Barry, I'm on Brad's side on this.
I'm a huge Talking Heads fan.
Barry, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking
they
about.
Don't, they don't
give,
care.
No, there's
if,
no. There's
give
no.
Give me the Lionel Richie.
There's
give
no
me the.
Lionel.
Give me the Kenny Rogers.
They're not pulling for that 55 to 65 plus ish year old male or female that wants to have that getaway weekend because so and so is playing, right? Like Lionel or like Elton or whatever, or certainly Paul would go far generations outside of that. But there's not one of those. And a couple years ago, I said the same thing when Eminem was having his second headline, and you said that was the Legacy Act. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn. Yeah. Eminem was the Legacy Act this year. Man. I don't know if that's important anymore.
How much of this, that though, is us trying to guess how they build their lineups?
In other words, because you guys have talked to the people who do it, so
right,
you probably
do
that.
But I mean, how much of it is it a formula like that versus,
hey,
let's go get the best 100 acts that we can get.
Your Legacy Act? Tool. That's your Legacy Act.
You know what I'm saying?
They're almost 30 years old.
Yeah, I mean these are all fine points. I wonder. I think Barry, you might be right about this. And the more that I think about it, we always keep, especially the lineup nerds, and I consider myself one of them. We all just keep trying to find the band that fits the slot.
Right.
That a previous band had actually.
That's what I mean.
That we're used
created.
To.
Yeah, that we're used to, and yeah, Lionel Richie created a slot. Kenny Rogers created a slot. John Prine created a slot. That's not how they're building a lineup. They're building a lineup mainly because they see shows that they think are really, really good.
That's my point.
And then they add some things that they know they need to do to sell some tickets. And then they add some things that their partners need them to put on to get some other artists. That's how they build a lineup. And I hope to God that they can put enough levels in there and lanes in there for you to
right.
So they can manage an entire crowd of people from one spot to the next.
As we've heard and talked about on here, the lanes are the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know, you get a Miley Cyrus, it kind of blows up what you've done in the past, maybe.
Yeah.
But you go with it, you know.
All right, let's go back to Brian's original point, and his original question is where these things fit on the stage. Now, I have a feeling. I'm about to do exactly what I just said I shouldn't do, which is find slots for people where they don't belong because someone existed in that slot before.
Yeah.
I love, and God, I know I'm not supposed to talk about his name or say his name, but I'm going to use him just as a proxy. I love that R. Kelly slot. that after the Tame Impala slot, better yet, the original R. Kelly slot, now the Tame Impala slot, after LCD Sound System, a few years ago, Tame Impala gets that late night witch slot.
On the witch.
On the witch.
Right?
Boy, how great would it be if that was Miley Cyrus?
Well,
I have a feeling it's not going to be. I feel like it's going to be Bass Nectar, well, but how
well,
fun
no,
would
well,
it be?
This is where I was about to go. I've been wanting to ask this when you said, hold on, we'll come back to schedule. Bass Nectar on the other late night, because the other has become the same size and same crowd size as the Witch.
True.
Maybe
that's true.
Maybe a Miley on the Witch around 10-ish or so.
You make a great point. You make a great
then
point
Tool
because
later, and then Bass Nectar to close down on the other at like 1:30
or 2.
Which
we know
two.
They're moving the Calliope stage, so you know they're
because
gonna
they're
make
making
that
the
whole
other
corner.
The point of
the
late
night. You might
late
be exactly
night.
Right about that. You might be right.
Nobody's
about that.
Sleeping in GA that night.
Boom. Nobody's sleeping
so
anywhere.
Nobody's sleeping that night.
Which, by the way, I want to explain to you why they moved Calliope. It's because the VIPs are and the platinum members are sleeping right on the other side of
the
wall.
Can't sleep with their
They're
hearts
not
thumping.
Going to keep the Calliope stage right there
heart
when all the people paying
are
the money.
This close to happening.
All right. So
that's correct.
So back to if Bass Nectar goes on the other. Does Miley Cyrus take that late night slot on The Witch, or does she play right before Tool?
I would love her to be on. I get why you're laughing and why that would be a question worth asking, but that damn what stage is just so incredible. I want to see Miley on that stage.
Yeah.
I don't know if you cross it up and have Bass Nectar play in between the two. I don't think that makes any sense because you want Bass Nectar to be later than Tool, I would think, right? I don't know, because Witch is just, it gets better and better and better, but it's still disappointing at times.
Man,
they're putting a lot of effort into it.
But it's not the what. There's not a stage in this country that sounds better than that what stage at any given time of the day.
Yeah.
And I would hate to waste, like, a why am I blanking on Neil Young and Richie Furay and Stephen Stills,
Buffalo Springfield
in 11. That was so just so disappointing because it sounded so bad.
I hate to interrupt, but I just now saw another thing in the lineup that I'm stunned by. Adrian Belew is on it.
I wondered where this was because I knew you didn't hate to interrupt. I was like, hold on.
You keep
where
making
is he?
Fun of me. Whatever. We're going to talk about
from
that.
From 160s
more
to the
and
next.
More and more.
Brett, I hate to interrupt, but I'm going to make fun of somebody now.
I think that this year is trying to. This is going to be so much fun to watch on Infaroo and schedule nerds like myself. It's going to be so much fun to watch them try and create this schedule. This schedule is going to be a S show to try and figure out how in the world you make Friday work. God damn, you're right, Brian. You said this. We have not left Friday yet.
I know.
This is amazing
Friday.
To me. So I'm trying to figure out like how you could possibly put. You know that if we're creating lanes, right? So if you're going to create lanes, anybody that's going to be a schedule person, try and create a mock schedule. They're going to create lanes and they're going to try and get you to where they need to get you. Glass Animal seems like a very very possible afternoon what stage slot.
God, that would be great.
If that went
that'd
in,
be so good.
If that went into 1975, that would make a lot of sense. That
perfect
then
sense.
Got you to Tool, right?
That'd make perfect
on,
sense.
On which you've got Megan Thee Stallion going into Run the Jewels, going into Miley Cyrus, right? Those things start to make sense. I don't know if I'm right about this, but I've got to assume that I'm close as to how this is going to work. I just don't see Miley Cyrus playing in two Tool.
I don't either.
I don't see that happening.
No.
That's the lead-in. That lead-in doesn't work as well. When you talk to your guy about the way things plan, the way things flow, that lead-in flow doesn't make
a lot of sense.
GD bit of sense.
All right. Let's finally move to Saturday. So we've talked about Thursday. It's sort of like it's there. We're going to be there anyway. Let's go play and let's go explore. I don't care. I really don't give a damn what you give to me on Thursday. Yeah. I'm going to love every second.
Right.
You're on house money this entire week.
That's right. That's a great point. Friday, by the way, boy, I just want to keep going on Friday, by the way. I want to talk about Lynn and Stella. I'm not even going to talk about Brittany Howard because everybody knows how much I love her.
You love Brittany Howard.
Lynn and Stella is a superstar. I want to tell you a story about Lynn and Stella. This girl, tackled me at Lollapalooza. We were in this weird, I don't want to get too name droppy here. I'm so sorry
really,
about
you
that.
Don't?
I really don't because yeah, but I've got to put some context on this. We're at this very strange party for like chain smokers. And it doesn't make I don't know why we were there. We just happened to be there. I didn't want to be there, but she was on the same label as the chain smokers. And I was there with the label people. But this girl runs and attacks us and tackles me and starts talking about Bonnaroo because, Barry, she knew the podcast. So
I thought you were going to say she knew Bishop Briggs or something, and you had to.
So Lennon, so
she heard
Lennon,
about the table you broke.
So Lennon starts talking to us about Bonnaroo and how much she loves Bonnaroo because she's from Nashville. She's on the TV show Nashville, and she's obsessed with Bonnaroo. And all she can talk about, and Lollapalooza, it's a few days long, right? All she can talk about every time I see her after that is how much she can't wait to be at Camp Nut Butter.
Oh, awesome.
This.
Sweet.
And I'm not saying I love her because of that, but this girl is going to be a superstar. She is a superstar. Her show is damn good. She reminds me a lot of Dua Lipa really early on. When Dua didn't really know what to do on stage, was very uncomfortable, just needed a few songs to get her over the hump. Dude, Lennon Stella is a star, a complete star. And we can talk about Tones and I, which, by the way, Dance Monkey might be one of the most, one of the biggest crossover hits of the entire year last year, Dance Monkey from Tones and I. That's going to be a fun show. That's going to be on the other because they're a DJ set. There's a lot to talk about in the upcoming weeks. Be a Patreon. We'll dig into all of this. The whatpodcast.com. All right, Saturday. I'm not going to talk about Lizzo. Let's talk about Oysterhead and how this is going to bring Trey Anastasio back to the farm again. Which, if you believe anything about the way that Bonnaroo makes their money or believes that they want to keep going back to their roots, Oysterhead is the only thing on this lineup to me that takes them back to their original roots.
It is. I don't know how much you guys know about the band Oysterhead. They are really on the cult fringe of Phish and Primus.
Now you are one of these guys, by the way.
When they were first listened to a lot of this. It's really a novelty act.
Tell me where they are versus like String Cheese Incident and like a Widespread Panic.
Well, where they don't come in with that is they don't have the longevity, they don't have the catalog, they don't have the fan base for that specific band itself. Now, their tentacles go far and wide. I'm assuming Stuart Copeland from The Police is still their drummer.
That's
what made it the super group. So yeah. It's Les from Primus and Trey from Phish and Stuart Copeland.
Primus is on the lineup.
And then, of course, Les Claypool, he used to be at this festival every single year, the first 7, 8, 9 years. But really, from I think for like the 420 Festival in Atlanta, this was a big first get because it was one of their first shows, and they were one of the first Southern festivals anyway to release a lineup, and that was really big for them because they cater to that 420, ish, that kind of crowd. I don't think that's a big heavy hitter there.
We need a guy like him for EDM. You see what I'm saying? We need a guy like him who can talk about the har har hardy har har stuff. And
yeah, you don't have an EDM correspondent.
I don't have an EDM.
No, no, we don't even scare.
I mean, I even think third on that list up there is too high. I mean, Isabel, Tenacious D are far bigger acts than Oysterhead.
I know, but let's get.
You're not going to put Trey and Stuart Copeland.
Exactly.
No, of course not.
Exactly.
Of course not.
Let's get out of this. Let's get out of this world where we talk about how something's bigger or bigger than one thing, bigger than the other. They've got to figure out a way to connect to their original mission.
But I guess
their original mission, it's not even a mission. I hate to say that because I'm putting words in their mouth. But
yeah, their mission is to sell tickets.
No kidding.
But my point is, I'm not sure how many people who are there to see Oysterhead are there just for that, for Bonnaroo. I just don't know how many.
Well, it's a great question. Take that Oysterhead and create a lane. And here's where you go.
Okay, there's your conversation.
Brian, here's you. On Friday, you got Glass Animals. On Saturday, you got Oysterhead. On Sunday, you got Tame Impala. You know, this is where the math of this and the beauty of it is where we thrive. This is where you and I start, our blood starts boiling. Our hearts start racing. We love that kind of stuff. There was a reason why. And by the way, if you ever wonder what Barry and I might do in the future, it's going to like curate a music festival. It's going to be terrible, but we're going to think it's going to be really good. But like that's exactly what they did. They went, they created a lane where you're going to see Tool, you're going to see Glass Animals, you're going to see Oysterhead, you're going to see Tame Impala, and that's going to be a pretty good weekend for you.
I'm going to give you a lane just for this day without having any expertise into doing this, regardless how they're stacked. Oysterhead fans are going to be Tenacious D fans. I would say that's not stretching it too far at all. And then I think a lot of these same people are going to be the Growlers fans. There's your small lane for that day. No one's seeing more than three, four, five shows a day if you're a super, if you're like a super festival goer.
Don't you think they go see
Isbell? Ryan, you sit in the car most days. Don't tell me you don't see five.
Hey. I'm just being your strategist right now. I didn't say I was going to do
it. That's absurd. Barry.
Hold on. What's absurd?
Barry is twice your age and sees twice more shows than you. What are you
What's absurd with my analysis from Oysterhead to Tenacious D to the Growlers?
You said you would see five shows a day.
No, I said most people don't see that many.
That's not true.
Check the tape. It's rolling.
Check the tape. See, I think you throw a Jason Isbell in there too, though, just because he's just good.
Well, and he knows Jason Isbell better than anybody on the planet. I mean, because they were best friends when they grew up.
But, I did used to have his phone number.
But
drunk at the Pickle Barrel.
But
River than Bruce.
But there's a much different world when Jason Isbell has 400 unit than it's just Jason Isbell.
You never know for sure what you're going to get. Sometimes it's a rock show. Sometimes it's a lullaby. I would guess at a setting like this, if it was on the Witch, I'd love to see him on the What early. Early on a Saturday.
God, I want him.
Isabel on the What at like 3?
Brian?
With a decent... If you got lucky and didn't have 100-degree weather?
He has a great point here. You know that time... That conversation you and I have all the time about we wish that they're that Sunday morning church service
like
that
Warren
we used
Haynes
to go...
15 years ago.
That we used to go to it with...
Mavis Staples.
With Mavis Staples and Sharon Jones and Charles Bradley. We wish we had that back. Jason Isbell, without 400 units, Jason Isbell could do that every Sunday morning, every year, no matter what.
Bring
he's
in
just
a guest
got
or
that,
two, sure.
He's got that just heartbreaking, I just want to feel something this morning. I want to feel something at 1 o'clock in the heat. I don't know if that's going to be the show.
I don't think that's what
that.
That's going
to
be.
No. But so when I go through Saturday, and I'm just going to start from the bottom and go up, Marcus King Band, you've talked about. Mountain Joy has been here before. The Growlers, I feel like, I'm going to have to go back and look at this, but I feel like the Growlers have done like a Who stage thing. There are a lot of return artists that are like moving up the ranks in this year. And then... there's going to be a lot of conversation about Nelly and Country Grammar. Of course, that was a root clue, and everybody sort of like hoped that was happening. That's going to be a ton of fun. I hope it's better than that. God Forsaken. What was that show on The Other that we saw that was just the worst? That rap show on The Other.
You were so excited about it.
Oh, God. It was just the worst. Hip-hop
I probably
shows,
told you I thought it was going to be awful.
Hip-hop shows have such a hard time at Bonnaroo. It just
doesn't translate
doesn't work. I hope that Nelly show works. Kevin Gates is another hip-hop artist. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's not for me. But it's all leading you to Lizzo. And there is not a, and I've said this once, I will say it 100 times for anybody that is new on this show. There is not somebody that identifies and is more indicative of what this festival is than what Lizzo portrays on the stage. You don't know her. That's fine. That's what she portrays on the stage. But that is exactly who she is. Yeah. She is positivity. She is body positive. She is love. She is everything that this festival is supposed to be. And so when you're sitting in that room saying, is Lizzo a headliner? You go around the table, and every one of them that has seen the show will say, oh, my God, it was the most heart-wrenching, open-heart love fest I have ever been to.
And I haven't seen it. I know you've seen it a couple of times, but what I have seen is
10.
It's everything you just said with a ton of fun.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's not just... You know, stand there and tell you love everybody.
I want to mark the
blow
time.
Blow it out and have a great
it
time.
It is 10
right?
o'clock on a January 6th, Monday, cool, crisp Chattanooga evening. I am predicting that on Saturday, June 13th, Barry Corder will be twerking at Lizzo. Your twerk game will be so strong at Lizzo.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but I'll go to the show with you.
I thought we were trying to sell this thing.
I want to see that booty work.
All right.
We're being in touch Sunday.
No, seriously, the Lizzo show is that fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't, and that's what I love about this, going back and reading in my mind all of the posts and all of the conversation about who, what, when, where on these headliners. Is this good enough? Oh my God, Coachella came out and Frank Ocean was on it. Oh, that's such a boring show. You go through all of these things. You're like, oh, but is Lizzo good enough? They don't care. Look at what they had in their back pocket.
They were able to do that whether you think it's going to work or not because of how much money they had to play with here. But seriously, though, an artist that was this less well-known that long ago being a headliner at Bonnaroo on Saturday, that is completely unprecedented. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right. I mean, that is – think of something in 18, 19 years that this is – Ever happened in any festival, not just Bonnaroo.
Several factors in play there.
It's
one,
6 months ago, nobody's barely heard of this person.
No, I don't disagree, but I really think them never having a female artist, they were going to get one.
She's
8 Grammy nominations?
More than me.
8.
It's had more. She's got more than me.
So
I'm not even questioning. I'm just saying out loud that how unprecedented of a move this is. But I do believe that without such a strong weekend, that would have been a pretty big gamble. And right now, I don't care who headlines Saturday. It doesn't matter to me.
If she were the Saturday headliner, 4 years ago when we started this, probably a different conversation. To your point,
yeah. I think they can
put her on this lineup. Given the timing of everything. You're hearing more pushback than I am. I think most people are going to be excited to see her. But
after the Grammy Awards in the next couple months, I bet it's just going to get hotter. The name's just going to get hotter.
I think the pushback is not about Lizzo. I think the pushback is mostly at the changing nature of what Bonnaroo is to the people that feel that Bonnaroo has been ripped out from under them.
You know,
every half decade we have that same argument.
I was getting to say it's time to get over that. It's not a jam festival. It hasn't been since year 3.
I was
pissed
off when they put Radiohead in 2006. That was dumb.
People need to get over that. It's 20 years old or 19 years old.
I know.
It has not been a single thing for multiple years ever. I mean, the closest we can point to is it's become an EDM festival in the last 4 or 5 years.
And just
that's probably going to cycle through as well.
I'm just amazed and at awe at what this festival
has done. Forget, as Jeff Cuellar has told us, 60% of people who come every year are brand new. You know what I mean? So it's not like 100% are coming and saying, "Man, this isn't the same festival."
No, but you got to maintain both those. You got to maintain a core that this is something I can't miss.
That's right. That's the lane.
And then there's wait a second, the FOMO thing, right? I can't not go. Lizzo or Tool or Vampire Weekend.
Let me put it this way. There is and you guys will know it, so let's just start there. There's a guy in this city who does radio that is going to look at this and loathe it. He is going to wonder where his Bonnaroo went.
That's completely true.
And I understand that there is a conversation that is so expired and the milk has ran its course in the refrigerator. Take it out and throw. The conversation is old and stale and we get it. But at some point, even guys like me and you are going to look at this at some point and be like, this has gotten so pop music. Is this even what I remember it to be when I even went, and not even being the jam band festival fan that
the reason we started this podcast is we didn't know anybody on that lineup that year. That's why we started the podcast.
I mean, with 2017.
We needed something to do. We're like, I love this festival, but let's talk about something, I guess.
2017, I don't have that list in front of me, but with Lord and The Weeknd, and those only two that pop into my head immediately, I thought this thing's gone really pop. And that was the bounce back from the 16 year, which was more old guy-ish with Pearl Jam and Dead and I think Tame. Yeah, Tame was that Friday night, I think, in 16.
Guys.
And they made that pop. But I think pop music is where it's at.
I understand, but you could take Lizzo completely off the lineup. This would be the most pop-centric festival lineup they have ever put together.
I think I might be wrong. You could take Lizzo off this lineup and they wouldn't lose a ticket sale.
I agree with that.
I didn't... Oh, this lineup, that's probably true. Yeah, I took that the wrong way when you said it.
No, I don't mean to be hating. I'm saying this is strong.
All right, so let's go to...
That's
by the way,
this great.
Well, by the way, to go back to... Okay, sorry.
Yeah. I was just going to say that as we've done this, we've learned from talking to Jeff and Ashley Capps and Ken Weinstein, it's not exact science. You know, it changes for them every year. They don't... And I would say the same for Hangout. I would say the same for Governor's Ball. They don't sit down with a hard, fast formula and plug it in and make it work. They have to react to who's available, what's popular.
And you can't please everybody any
festivals,
of the time.
They got to compete against the other festivals.
I find what you said to be sort of interesting just then because it's not often. Wait, did I say that? No, it's what I said. I think it's what I said.
I got a little tingly there.
There are certain festivals in this country that you can absolutely right now write what the lineup is going to be. And you can travel probably 600 miles down south and find one. You know what the lineup is going to be, probably 95%. And I think what keeps people like me and the dorky, you know, lineup nerds going is that you really don't ever know what this thing is going to be. And I think that we lose track of how much that's actually great. And what
awesome.
Keeps this
oh,
sort
I,
of conversation
it
going.
It is great.
There's like, yes, there are going to be years that it's going to irritate me. But boy, there are going to be so many years that I feel so phenomenal about not knowing at all what's about to be thrown my way. We do lose sort of sight the ability of like living in the moment.
That's why we sat here for 3.5 hours twiddling our thumbs waiting on this damn thing.
You know, I mean, how many times have we heard people say, I don't care about the lineup anymore. They're going to go see their friends. They're going to go to the camp.
They're going to care about the lineup this year.
They're going to care.
Well, I've said that before because I have a different experience, but this is
I want to go
fantastic.
To, I want to go back. I want to go one more thing before we leave Saturday is the Super Jam. Oh, boy.
Help me out. Pardon my ignorance. Who are we looking at here? What is this?
It's not Adrian.
It's a band called Sylvan Esso, Brian. Yeah. Have you ever heard of Sylvan Esso?
No.
Okay, well, you need to unplug your microphone and leave.
This is all my stuff. I got to go. I'm tired, by the way.
Sylvan Esso hosting
I don't know
a Super Jam.
I'm sorry, Brad.
Sylvan Esso hosting a Super Jam confuses me beyond belief. That is unique. It's challenging. I'm confused. I don't even know what presents with means.
Yeah, I know, right?
This Super Jam is going to be an EDM Super Jam because they've got a DJ. It's Sylvan Esso's two people.
So it's a band or it's a performer?
Brian, I am not doing the Wikipedia for you for Sylvan Esso. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to. Let's talk somewhere else about Sylvan Esso one day. I am stunned.
You and I will go see Adrian Ballou.
I am stunned.
What?
Stunned.
Who's that? What, Talking who? Heads?
First off,
King
first
Crimson, never heard of.
First
heard
off, of. By the way, this is the
David Bowie? Bowie
this is
David.
The only Super Jam on the lineup outside of Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, we were pretty sure Brittany Howard was going to be part of some sort of Super Jam, weren't we?
That is a great point. I thought Brittany would be hosting the Super Jam because she's just got so many connections and she lived in Nashville for so long. But Sylvan Esso hosting a Super Jam, right? That is going to be a DJ-centric Super Jam. I can't imagine, so I don't know. Maybe I'm totally wrong. I don't know. But there's got to be a alternative reality where Sylvan Esso is playing all of their songs with a band. I've never seen it, but
it's
maybe
not
it
as
happens.
Far afield as you might think. You get, you know, a Girl Talk.
I thought it was going to be like a few
Girl
years
Talk
ago.
Does,
year, right.
It does a whole different thing than
I thought it was
just
gonna be,
the drum beats.
An EDM-centric Super Jam makes sense to me. What doesn't make sense to me is not having another one.
Yeah.
Not having another one where, like, you've got... Look, okay, I go to Sunday and Bill Frisell with Harmony featuring Petra Hayden, Hank Roberts,
you've
and Luke
Bergman.
You've
never heard of Bill Frisell, Brad?
You know, I'm
He's
not...
He's just the cutting edge of...
I'm just saying... There's
Americana.
Not, there's not,
I don't know who the hell he is.
There's
I think it's
not,
country.
There's
it's
not...
Sounds, sounds country. If it's the guy that I'm thinking of, it's country.
There's not another Super
I'm not
Jam.
Sure.
There's not a Super Jam. Okay.
Some of the, I mean, Super Jam is fun, but I don't know. You don't have to have a legendary one every year. Not if you've got a bunch of other stuff working for you.
Well, that's all I had to say about Saturday. We're going to come back to the Super Jam and Sylvan Esso. I bet plenty of times when it comes
right,
to this
well, before
lineup.
We do, allow me to continue to be ignorant here. It presents with.
Yeah, he was saying. We
I
don't
just
know
said
what,
that.
What
yeah,
is that?
I don't know.
We don't know.
Okay. I don't know. All right, Sunday. Oh God, I'm just sort of a little. wiped away the Vampire Weekend, not higher on this overall top to bottom lineup, not the day by day, but the top to bottom lineup. I'm stunned the Vampire Weekend, not higher. Vampire Weekend had just an amazing set on the What stage in the afternoon 2 years ago. They've got a new album.
It's a great new album, but they'll be the right before Tame Impala on the What that Sunday, wouldn't you think?
No.
What do you, where
I just don't. I think Lana Del Rey is it. And maybe I'm wrong.
I think
Lana
all three of those in a row would be incredible.
I sat.
On one stage, I mean.
Look, I don't, again, I'm, oh my God, I'm about to do it again. I hate that I'm about to do this. I do not mean to be patting myself on a back or name dropping here. I sat in Dan Auerbach's studio at the table where he made the Lana Del Rey album. And we literally sat there and we had whiskey tequila. And
whiskey tequila sounds terrible.
And he looked at me and he said, Lana Del Rey is the most amazing artist I've ever worked with in my life. Nice. It will never, I don't, she is on a level that you could have taken Lizzo's name out and put Lana Del Rey's there, and it would have been totally fine by most people. I don't see Lana Del Rey doing that on the Witch stage. Maybe I'm wrong.
Headlining the Witch?
I don't know, man. Maybe.
Don't you not see Vampire Weekend headlining the Witch also?
I don't know how many times in history, somebody in a better modern historian is going to have to tell me how you've gone from a What stage afternoon to a Witch stage evening.
Back. Yeah,
I don't know.
And this, I mean, this new album from Vampire Weekend is great.
It's amazing.
And a couple of the first singles are charting like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're not just like, oh, hey, they were good. They still are. No, right. they're charting. Lana Del Rey, outside of the Sublime cover, where is her new music isn't released yet, right? I haven't.
Well, she doesn't need one. She just had a new album. I mean, the new album is her new music. I mean, this is her off cycle. So, okay, of course she's going to do a festival. By the way, I'm looking at Instagram. We have 75 notifications sitting here. Okay, going back to Sunday, Leon Bridges coming back to the farm.
That'd be fun.
That will sound a lot like what I'm guessing Leon Bridges.
It sounds the exact same thing.
I'm curious to see if it's changed. But that show three or four years ago was awesome.
Hey, Barry.
I know.
I'm gonna spoiler alert here.
Not going to change.
It hasn't changed. He's got a new song out that is phenomenal. Yeah. Doesn't sound anything like he's done before. And what I have been told is that he has adapted and changed his sound a lot.
Yeah, I've
to
heard
not
it.
Just
it's
be
great.
Sound.
Is it me though? The more I look at this for the last 53 minutes, Sunday does seem to be the weakest of overall names.
I mean, it just depends.
No? Hillary says no.
It
Your
depends.
Wife says
Pine
no.
Grove. Pine Grove is a massive, massive indie alternative band. I have seen this show. I'm not going to talk too crazy about it and how confused I was, but Pine Grove is a darling of the indie alternative circuit. So they're going to have a big crowd there. I would almost bet that they're going to be on the Witch stage, as crazy as that is. It might be, but whatever. I might be wrong. Pine Grove is a massive, massive thing. The rest of them, the Struts are great. We've talked about that. The Struts are great.
Yeah.
The rest of it, you're right. I don't really know much about it, but that's why we do the show.
Camp with Two A's, we play them on the alt station here in Chattanooga. They got a decent sound, a little alt Americana kind of sound. So,
look, the point is
Flogging Molly, so I'll drop by that one for sure.
Sure, if you love Boston.
Yeah.
So if you
maybe getting a little fight, a little mosh pit action.
Yeah. It's
kick somebody with your Doc Martens.
My Doc Martens.
Yeah. 45 minutes of fist flying. Yeah.
Where else are you going to wear your Doc Martens?
Look, there is not going to be a better way of closing the festival than a giant light show of what will be the biggest rock band of 2020, and that's Tame Impala. They are going to own the. Stop
are you
it.
Sure I, about
stop
this?
It! Stop it! I'm
are
not going to
sure?
argue. Yes, I am
right,
sure about it.
Right,
the, Tame Impala is going to own the rock space for 2020, unless
I mean, they're fine. I'm not a hater, but I just don't. I don't know. Okay. I don't. I mean, we're going to projections here.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Tame Impala, the show that they put on after LCD Sound System 2 years ago was absolutely
boring.
Phenomenal.
Nah, that was a
phenomenal. The light show was incredible. They could not sound better. I have made this argument before on the show, and I've gotten beaten up about it a little bit. I do feel as though they have taken a little bit of the jam band space. Now, I get it that
they've definitely taken some
I
of the
don't
jam
feel
band space.
As, I know that they don't improvise like a lot of people want them to. I know that they don't have the let's just go with it and see what happens sort of mentality. But they still service somewhat of the same audience, and that show is as it is so good. Well, and that is going to be as good of a way and as soul
good way to end it.
Soul enriching way on to a smaller end it level, on, as you can find on a hot Sunday
on
afternoon.
A smaller level, never really did Primus or Les Claypool, never really did the Black Crowes, but they could identify and kind of cross-pollinate with that jam band scene. And I think Tame Impala absolutely has done that, and I don't know if I would have thought about it until you said it. That brings Oysterhead people to maybe stick around for Sunday night.
Yeah,
that's what, and I totally agree with you that now that I think about it that way.
It's like you haven't been here, and I wish you weren't.
Enough, Brad. Six months. And I get to
boy, how many days we got? How many days?
6 months, and I get to live with this for 6 days.
You feeling okay, Dad?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm excited.
No, this is great. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
When you first got it in your hands, what did you? What was the first thing that came to your mind?
Strong, solid. I mean, I think the three of us were out there printing it out.
Oh yeah, we were wondering where the hell you were there for a few minutes.
We were waiting on this to come to us and then print it out so we could do this. I felt then the way I do now. It's a really good lineup.
Yeah.
There's a lot of acts that I've never seen, which, you know, to your name dropping point, that's good
on this. I hate that there are too many name dropping opportunities in this lineup.
Yeah, you were heavy.
Me.
You were heavy on this show.
Look, I'm gonna. I don't want to do this, but this could not set up worse for me to be murdered at camp. Nut Butter is going to kill
my pal,
me this year.
My pal, Tame Impala. Because Lizzo,
Brittany, Lennon, and Lizzo are all there, and I could walk them back to our camp, and you guys are just going to still beat me up.
It'll be it. Over the top if your boy Dan shows up. Your boy Dan Arbach
up. My prediction.
Here's my close personal friend, Dan Arbach. How you doing?
My prediction, it'll go more like, Lennon's going to come by later, and he'll be sitting at camp by himself all day long waiting.
She is worth waiting for.
No, you'll be there by yourself the whole time, waiting on her.
She is. She
never made it.
She never made it.
She never.
I think she's still coming.
Yeah, she's coming. She said she would.
No, I'm at exit 111 Fest still. Is she here yet?
It's cold as hell out here.
No, I think it's really, really good. I think we're going to pick it apart. Sunday and Thursday, there are still a lot of names I've never heard of.
Well,
so
you know
I'm looking
what?
Forward to that.
You know what, Barry Corder? That's why the What Podcast exists for you, because that's what we do. We dive into as much as we can to every artist that we can. For the Patreons, we thank you so much because we're about to do a show just for you. I don't know how much left we have. But it's going to be just for you, which is exciting. And for those Patreons that have joined us before January 1, I'm really excited that you're a part of this. There's been a ton of them have come since January 1, but since then, we've sold out of the $20 level a month.
Wow, that's amazing.
Patreon level, which
it was
means,
the shirt thing, right? Me taking my shirt
you
off.
You taking your shirt off. That was way low on the thing, so a lot of people are getting that.
It was
sorry.
The $20 if he leaves it on that did it.
That would be great.
Hey, I want to mention, too.
But we sold out of the $20, so we opened it up for two more. There's two more nice. $20 a month possibilities, and that gets you on the show. So we're going to start interviewing Patreons literally starting in a couple of weeks.
Nice. I wanted to say, when we were talking about the discovery phase of it, today, while you're listening to this, we're going to put together a Spotify playlist, too. So,
are you really?
Yeah, I'm going to. You're so it should be this. Active right now.
You're
going to
do this.
I'm going to do this, so you can look for it.
How early are you waking up to do this?
Early enough.
Okay. All right.
I got to write a story, and then I'm going to do that. So.
All right. David Grimes, Lizo Candor, Frank Swanson, Phil Hanley, Dustin Gehrig, Chloe Howe, Dan Sweeney, Lucy Young, Linda Doles, Chelsea Marie Davis, Jason Hazelbaker, and Elle Watson. Thank you for being Patreons.
Ella.
For those. Did I say Elle? I said Elle?
Elle. Ella.
Ella. I'm so sorry.
Ella.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. For those of you who have joined since January 1, we will get you on the next show, which will be very soon. We have got every week set up from now, maybe not now, very soon, up until the lineup is literally in fruition on the farm in June for the What Pack podcast. That's Barry Corder. I'm Brad. Happy lineup day. What an exhilarating day. We'll see you soon. Bye.